I sure appreciate your prayers, Lord, and bless this time that we have to be together as we look into His Word and some thoughts that I feel like He's given me to share with you, and pray that they'll be a blessing and a challenge to us, as it has been to me. I've written the words, "The effectual work of the Spirit." I'd like to begin in the book of Acts. Acts, the second chapter, to begin. We read here very early in the founding and the establishment of the Church of God. Read of the work that Jesus came, did here on the earth, and how in so many ways the enemy tried to thwart it. He tried to head it off. He tried to have Jesus put to death before His time, and it looked like that evil had triumphed. Jesus even said, "This is your hour in the power of darkness." And it looked like a great loss had been suffered that day when He was crucified. But on the third day, that all changed. And victory dawned in a way that the enemy could not suppress. And we read about the time as Jesus continued working with them there still for a spell, for a period of time, and trying to prepare them for what was coming, that this thing would continue on beyond just the time that He went back to be with the Father. But He was coming to establish a work. We read about it in Daniel, and we don't have time to go into all the background of it, but of a stone of a mountain that was hewn out, and how it grew and it increased more and more, and it filled the whole earth, speaking about the work of God and about His kingdom that was set up and established, His church, upon the earth. And so, Jesus, in preparing the disciples for the complete fulfillment of that on the day of Pentecost, He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So we read then, on the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. We'll read through the remainder of this, but we're familiar with the setting and the story, as 120-ish people were together in an upper room, waiting for what's next, for what the Lord has for us next. And the Lord sent His Holy Spirit down, and how it was manifested outwardly, and how it filled them inwardly. And they took note that there was a change that happened. There is so much confusion, and again, pray with us this evening as we consider some instruction in righteousness from the Word of God. There is so much confusion today about what the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. What's the evidence of it? How is it manifested in someone's life? There are many who teach that whenever that happens, you'll begin to babble and speak in some unintelligible sound. But we read of something so much more beautiful that the Holy Spirit and His work is in our lives. Peter, of all that could be said of Peter and Peter's tendencies and weaknesses, and you know, every one of the disciples had their hang-ups. Peter was one because he was so forthright. It's more evident, perhaps. But they all had their hang-ups and their weaknesses and their things that the Lord wanted to work with before they could really be effectual in His work. Well, Peter, after this happened, Peter was changed. And the Peter that began to speak, it wasn't the words that Peter so often just popped out with. There was something about the words that Peter was speaking because he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you read on down where those that heard, they were convicted in their hearts. And it convinced them, and it revealed who they were to themselves. And it was on that day that 3,000 souls were saved. Well, we'll read here just a couple more verses in the 16th. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And as they went from here, though the enemy continued to try to suppress and contain and squash the working of the Lord, there was something that the more they squashed and the more he tried to stomp, the more it abounded and the more it grew and it went out because of the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of ordinary men and women that gave themselves wholly to God, and he was able to work through them and carry his work forward. And to me, it's inspiring to read in the book of Acts of the ways that the Lord worked in the early period of the church. But you know, there's a scripture that also tells us, if we inquire and say, why is it that the former days are better than these? You remember what I said? You're not wise. Because what can happen is, we can begin to say, well, if it wasn't for the times that we're living in. You know, just nobody wants it anymore. And you know, it's just the way people are. It's the way our world is. And we can begin to use that as an excuse and maybe sit on our hands a little bit. Do you know the Lord is still wanting to show His glory? The Lord is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He has designed and planned His church and His work to go forward throughout all time, generation to generation, that it doesn't die out. When Jesus was resurrected and went to ascend to be with the Father, it didn't die out when the apostles moved off of the scene, but it continued on generation to generation. And still throughout all this time, there were some dark periods of church history. But the Lord preserved blameless a people, a remnant who still were faithful to Him throughout their generation. And the Lord's endeavoring to do the same and will do the same in our generation. How is it that the Lord is wanting to bless and work in His church today? And do we see Him blessing among us? Well, I'm thankful that I believe we have. But I'd like to consider a verse in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and the 15th verse. It says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a little bit of a mouthful in that verse, but what it's illustrating to us here is the Lord came and He gave gifts to men, and He called and He began to set up for the furtherance of His church. The scriptures teach that He places the members individually where He sees they ought to go. The Lord is the only one that's able to rightly do that. I can't, you can't, a body of ministers can't get together and try to rule and govern and dictate and say who should go where. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that calls and qualifies and works through us to make us effectual. But I want us to notice in this verse, it talks about according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The blessing of the Lord upon us as a whole, as a body of Christ, the blessings of the Lord upon us as a congregation here and the congregations represented here tonight is proportional to the effectual working in every one of us. The ability of the Lord to bless the whole is dependent upon His ability to work with the individual members. And as the Lord is able to work individually, He'll be able to work collectively. So as we look around and Perhaps sometimes I would see a need or see something that maybe concerns me, or you know, maybe it seems like in this area things aren't quite the same as they used to be. Well, I don't go back that many years. Some of you go back more years than I do, but I've heard things about, not to criticize by any means, but I've heard stories of our camp meetings and times when you can hear, even on the recording sometimes, the praises that were offered to the Lord. The vocal amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah. And I don't see it to the same measure. But you know, I could sit back and I could say, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with the congregation? What's wrong with a camp meeting? Or maybe I come out to prayer meeting. I don't know how your prayer meetings are. Maybe I come out to prayer meeting and I say, you know, it's just a little bit dry. What's wrong with everybody? Have we lost the fire? Why are things not the same as they used to be? And what I want to challenge us with tonight is it's good for us to inspect. But the inspection starts right here. Because the Lord is only able to bless us again as a whole to the measure or to the degree to which He can bless me individually. The Lord's anointing upon our services is not due to some formula when we come together. There is a way to worship the Lord. There is a way to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But it's not as we all just come together and we produce something or because it's Church of God over the door, because the Lord has blessed us in years past. That's not it. It's as the Lord blesses my life at home and your life at home. As you have contact with the Lord and I have contact with the Lord and we come together, folks, the Lord is able to bless that. But it's contingent, it says here, upon the effectual working, and that the measure to which the Spirit of the Lord can effectually work in any one of us individually. Revival starts with me. That's where the Lord wants. If I see a lack, if I could say, and it's generally the case in about every congregation I've been to, so I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but I notice that it's often the same ones, maybe calling the songs, maybe the same ones that are praying over and over. You know, I could sit back and say, well, why is that? Or I could say, Lord, help me. Lord, what am I giving here? What am I contributing to this? Because I want to see You bless the whole. I want to see You bless as we come together. You remember, it was a fairly common or famous speech, I suppose, that JFK gave in his inauguration. He said, ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. You know, I believe there's a lot of truth in that, in society as a whole, and I believe within the body of Christ. It's not for me to just sit back and say, well, I wonder what others can do for me. You know, I want to sit on the sidelines and I want to receive the benefit, but I don't want to give. I don't want to give of myself. I don't want to sacrifice of myself or to make myself vulnerable. I sure hope they got it together. I sure hope somebody has a fiery testimony tonight. Lord, what am I giving? What am I contributing? To what extent or to what measure am I allowing You to work in my life that it might be a blessing to somebody else? I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Speaking here about spiritual gifts along the same line, and he likens it unto giving the different members of the body and how it's not all one member, it's not all one calling, it's not everybody coming together, and the Lord doesn't need 75 ministers here tonight, nor does He need 75 song leaders. We each individually have a place that I'm able to fill, that you're not able to fill, and that you're able to fill that I'm not quite able to. And I think it's so beautiful. I love the harmony of the saints singing. I love the harmony of the saints working together. I love the harmony of the spirit of cooperation and of fellowship and of love that flows together between the members. It's a beautiful sound and it's a beautiful sight when the Lord takes all these disparate members and He joins them together and He's blessing in your role, in your part that you give, and He's blessing in the part that I give, and He takes and brings it all together. Folks, it's so much more beautiful than what any of us can do or orchestrate. I am so thankful, and by God's grace, never want to lose in my lifetime the riches of Holy Spirit leadership. And substitute that with taking a panel of men and women and decide, well, here's the songs that we're going to sing tonight. Here's good. If you have something you want to say, you come to us and we'll screen that and tell you. And we're going to fit everything together. Folks, I know that we've seen much better. Whenever we've seen the Spirit of the Lord come and when it's not programmed, it's not planned out. It's the Spirit of the Lord touching the hearts of individual members that have yielded themselves to Him. And it may be a song, it may be a testimony, it may be a prayer. But the Lord, as individual members, respond to His leadings in His Holy Spirit leadership. But how Holy Spirit leadership does not work is when individuals are not led by the Holy Spirit. So what that means is Holy Spirit leadership does not begin when we step inside these doors. If I haven't learned the sound of the Spirit's voice when I'm at home, if I haven't learned what it is to commune with the Lord when I'm on my knees at home, I can't expect that I'm going to come inside these walls and be able to be led of the Spirit of the Lord. You see how it is a reflection? The broader whole is a reflection of the sum of individual pieces. It's a reflection of what I've got at home, of what my prayer life, and it may not be immediately manifested. But if we want the blessing of the Lord upon us as a people, as the body of Christ collectively, it's going to come by me saying, Lord, would You bless my little devotion time? Lord, would You anoint me in my time of prayer? Lord, would You give me victory in my individual life? So, here at 1 Corinthians 12, of the members of the body, let's begin in the fourth verse. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The effectual work of the Spirit. What does effectual mean? Well, the Greek definition in part refers to an energy or the power, the working. In essence, it's accomplishing something. Effectual is that which produces an effect. And you know that's what the work of the Holy Spirit is to do in our lives. It's about so much more than a form. It's about so much more than we know that we get saved and we know that then we get sanctified and that's all there is to it. It goes so much beyond that. The Holy Spirit wants to work in every one of our lives. He wants to work collectively among us. We'll read a little more of that as we go along. But He wants to work in every one of our individual lives in an effectual working. In other words, it's practical. It's day to day. It produces results in our lives. Then there's something more than just a profession or more than just a testimony. And thank the Lord for the testimony. But 20 years ago, I got sanctified. Folks, it is a day to day walk and a day to day effectual work in my life. And in your life, where the Holy Spirit is continuing to work with us and bring us into the fullness of His image. That's why his work is given to us, that we might be able to profit with all. There's a scripture that says, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Scriptures are teaching us that the gifts that are given, the working of the Spirit that's given for me, is for more than my own enjoyment. It's for more than just my own benefit. It starts there. And without me receiving the benefit, nobody else will receive the benefit. But it is to go beyond. The Lord gives that working of His Spirit, that gift, that ability that you have, that gift, however big or small you might think it is, the Lord's given that to you, first that you might profit from it, but that also the body of Christ can profit from it. That we can each supply unto one another and be a blessing to one another. That we're not just individuals working independently, but as we yield ourselves to the Lord, it's the definition of the word synergy. In my own words, it's the sum of the whole is more than the individual sums of the parts. So as I give my little part and you give your little part and all of us give our little part, put together and joined together produces much more than what every one of us individually going out on our own could ever do with those same abilities and those same gifts. It's the Lord's plan. It's what He did. He joined us together in one body that we might be able to work together. And it is the Lord that gives the increase. Thank the Lord. I'd like to turn to the 14th chapter now. 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is dealing with tongues. It need not be, but it is the source of so much confusion in our world today. What I want to get for the sake of time, we'll leave that for another time and someone else. The 24th verse of the 14th chapter says, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now this is in distinction from what he's been talking about leading up to that, of speaking in tongues. If you have a gift of being able to speak in another tongue for the purpose, or another language, for the purpose of reaching a people of a different nation, and you come in and begin speaking before all of us, there's no real profit to anyone there but to yourself who understands it. But how much better it is, and Scripture says He's not the author of confusion, how much better it is for us to allow the Holy Spirit to work through our lives. And it says, if all prophesy, prophesying is not just foretelling of future events, but it is speaking and moving under the inspiration and unction of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit moves, and may I go so far as to extend in our gatherings together, when the Holy Spirit moves upon your heart to sing a song, to lean out in prayer, to share a testimony that the Lord's given you. I want to encourage you, allow the Spirit of the Lord to have free course among us. Because as we yield ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit, He said those that come in that are unlearned, that don't know much about the gospel, we have that from time to time, or those who come in that maybe are walking in hypocrisy or in sin, that the working of the Spirit among us will be able to convince, to reveal the secrets of their heart, for conviction to be among us as a people. Oh, folks, we need this in our day and time. We need the Lord to be able to meet with us in our services. And whenever somebody comes out, that we're not here for entertainment. We're not here to just have a good time. Lord, there are people that are eternity bound that walk through these doors, and I can't shake them. I can't wake them up. I can't convince them of their place before God. But do you know the Holy Spirit can? And as the Holy Spirit has free course among us as a people, as He's blessing your life and my life, and we come together, and He blesses our assembly together, this scripture tells of how effectual that is. To what measure are we allowing the Spirit to work in our individual lives? There's a scripture in Hebrews 10. It talks about those who despise or count of little value the gift of God through His Son. And this goes on to say those in the 29th verse who do despite unto the Spirit of grace. And I want us to think about that name of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of grace. You know, that's such a fitting name. Of all the confusion there is about what the Holy Spirit does. I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit didn't just come to help us pick up snakes. Didn't just come for us to say something nobody understands or roll around on the floor. There's something so much greater than that. He comes to give us grace. For He is the Spirit of grace. Grace is the divine enabling power of God to do what I couldn't do, to gain victories that I couldn't gain. But when we allow the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, to truly work in our lives, so we began talking about the Lord's blessing among us as a people, but I want us to consider now the Lord's blessing among us individually, as again, we said His collective blessing hinges upon that. So what does that look like? And to what measure am I allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life? Because again, it's so much more than a testimony of sanctification years and years and years ago. There is a daily effectual working, and there is an effect that it produces in our life when I allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through me. And that Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Remember the scripture that says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and obtain grace to help in time of need." You know, that's what the grace of God is for. The Holy Spirit given to us to give us power over temptation, to give us power over ourselves, to give us power over our proclivities and our inclinations and, you know, just the default. That if I'm not influenced under the Spirit of grace, I'll tell you, my default is grumpy and selfish and just not a real pleasant person. And if I start to become a little careless, I can begin to see that manifested. It's ugly. Lord, I need You on a daily basis. I need Your grace. I need Your help to overcome that. I need Your help to keep under my body and my desires and the things that the flesh would want to take me off to do. I need the grace of God working daily in my life, as do every one of us, to help us. Another verse says that He helpeth our infirmities. You know, the Lord knows every one of our weaknesses. The Lord knows what your besetting sin is. Or in other words, that weakness that if you weren't diligent and careful, that'd be the thing that would get you. The Lord knows our infirmities. And the Spirit of grace is given to us to help us with that. Remember talking to one brother one time. He had been going through a very difficult place in his life. His house had burned and a number of problems he had dealt with. I was talking to him, trying to encourage him. He said, "You know, I found I can go to the Lord in prayer." And the way he told it to me, I thought was fitting. He said, it's like you're stuck in the mud. And you just can't get anywhere. And you're trying and you're trying. And you just can't get up and out of that place. And I can go to the Lord in prayer, and it's like I switch on the four-wheel drive. And I can get up out of it. That's what the Holy Spirit's given for. It's to help us where I need help. It's to help us, back to what we talked about Wednesday, to overcome, to rise above those things that would victimize us, those things that would try to bring us under. Do you remember what it was that the Apostle Paul said made him what he was? The great training I received under Gamaliel has made me what I am. My knowledge of the law has made me what I am. All of that, he said, he counted but dung. And he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, folks, it'll be by the grace of God that any one of us see inside of God's heaven. It'll be by the grace of God that any one of us will be any different than anyone else in the world. It's not because we come through these doors in and of itself that makes us special, that makes us holy. It's not in and of itself having an understanding of the doctrines of the Church of God, as important as all those things are. It is the grace of God working in your and my life each and every day to give me the power, to give me the ability to overcome those things in my life. The Apostle Paul faced so many things in his life. Distresses and persecutions and tribulations. And he said in Romans 8, shall any of these things separate me from the love of God? We sing a song that says, shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? You know, that's the question to every one of us when we come into those places we get stuck. Am I going to allow this to deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. It is only through and by the grace of God and His effectual work in our life. Well, of all those things that Paul faced, of all the distresses and the tribulations, he said, nay, in all these things we are more than a conqueror. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, the Apostle Paul, though he was literally shipwrecked, didn't make shipwreck of his soul. By the grace of God, the Apostle Paul, when he was ill-treated and persecuted and all of those things that were opportunity for him to fall by the wayside, he didn't. By the grace of God, it kept going. By the grace of God, he was a great blessing to the Church of God, then and throughout time. And folks, I don't believe that we can overestimate the ability of the Lord to use our lives, no matter who we are, no matter how little or how much we may think we have, if we yield ourselves to the Lord, I don't think we can overestimate what the Lord's able to do through us, to be a blessing and a help to His body, to the congregation, to souls that are around us. The Lord wants us to be more than conquerors. That phrase means a decisive victory. You know, there's nothing that will shut the mouths of God's people more than substandard living. Not being real victorious. Don't really have a good testimony of victory. I don't really have anything I can talk about in the last week, 6 months, where the Lord gave me victory over something in me. Lord, help us to allow the effectual work of the Spirit within our lives. The Scriptures talk about of the grace that no man fail of the grace of God. You know, the only way that we'll fall is if we fail of the grace of God, because it's there for us. I am convinced that the Lord has victory for His people, that we are called to be a holy and a victorious people. Lord, help us not to fail of the grace of God, not to allow the effectual work of His Spirit to cease in my day-to-day life. Well, Paul said once, I did not frustrate the grace of God. You know, we can frustrate His grace. When the Lord is trying and wanting to work with us and wanting to do something with us, you know, He can only do it to a certain point. The extent to which I yield myself to Him, the extent to which I give myself to Him, is the extent to which He can give grace to help in my time of need. I'd like to turn now to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I want to consider this story of the widow 2 Kings 4, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. You know, this is quite a story. I wonder if she thought and wondered within herself, why are you asking me what I have in my house? Surely if I had gold tucked away, I would have already sold it. You're asking what I have in my house? Nothing. All I have is this little cup of oil here. But you know, in this work that the Lord is wanting to do in His body and in us individually, in order to be able to effectually work, the Lord has to have something from us. There's a part that I have to play. I have to give of myself. So he said unto her, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. So if you can imagine all these vessels knocking on the neighbor's door, and maybe they bring in, maybe your son, Mom, is this enough now? Can we stop now? Go get some more. Have you been down that street? Have you tried that one? Go knock a little bit more, and as many vessels as they can find. You notice that's what Elisha said? Don't give it just a few. Don't do the bare minimum. Put your heart into this. So she went and borrowed as many as she... And notice what happened. As she poured out of the little bit that she had, from one vessel, and the next vessel, and the next vessel, and all the way around until the very last one was full, and then there was no more oil. You notice what the Lord did? To the measure to which she gave herself, the Lord met her. The extent to which she emptied of herself, gave of herself, followed in obedience, put her heart into it, the Lord didn't stop short of meeting that. And I want us to get something out of that little story tonight. Folks, if we put in the bare minimum, you know what we're going to get? The bare minimum. If we try to just put as little into this as I possibly can, if my qualification or my justification for something is this sin or is it not? Is this going to throw me over the edge, or can I get by with this, or can I not? Folks, if we're not putting our all into this, it will limit the amount of the effectual working of the Spirit in our lives. If we bring one vessel, the Lord will fill one vessel, and that'll be all. If I bring another, the Lord will fill that, and that'll be all. But I want us to take away from this, there's a part that I have to play. If I want the Lord's blessing in full measure, I've got to give myself in full measure unto the Lord. So, to what measure are we giving ourselves to the Lord? And I want us to see throughout this evening, there's a chain. The extent to which I give myself to the Lord, on my private prayer closet at home, and on my job when nobody's around, the extent to which I sell out for the Lord and put my whole heart into serving Him, it'll affect the level of victory that I have in my life. It'll affect the Lord's blessings upon me. And then when that happens, it'll affect the whole. It'll affect the congregation. It'll affect those that are around me. That spark of flame that I've got is contagious. And that, again, not knowing what your testimony prayer meetings are, but that prayer meeting that maybe before I thought, well, why aren't there more people with it? Why is it the same ones? That I can come and I've got something now. And I've got something that I can give. And you know, when the Spirit is working within us, it's amazing how things sound different.
It's amazing how I see things in a different light, and maybe nobody else gets a blessing, but I do. Out of the service, and you will. The scripture teaches us, give and it shall be given unto you. And that's talking about much more than being open-handed and liberal with our financial means. The extent to which I give of myself to the Lord, the extent to which I'm willing to give of myself to the body and the gifts the Lord's given. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, good measure shall men give unto your bosom, and shall the Lord give unto us if we give ourselves. So I want to give us an example. I read a little bit Wednesday in James, the fourth chapter. It says that the Lord giveth grace unto the humble. So if I take that scripture in and of itself, and I memorize that, the Lord giveth grace unto the humble, and I'm in a situation where I'm struggling, I'm in a situation where I don't have the victory that I need, I'm in a situation I can't seem to overcome this. To what measure am I willing to go to get the grace? How low am I willing to go? Because I see the scripture, it says they're connected. If I humble myself, there's grace that comes with that. So am I willing to shrink down just an inch and see what I can get? Or am I willing to go the full measure and say, Lord, I want victory. Whatever it takes. Lord, I'll dig a hole and crawl down in it if I have to. Because I want victory. You understand what I mean? The extent to which I give myself unto the Lord. God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, often withholds His hand until we extend our own. He withholds His blessing until I'm willing to reach out to Him. It's why the Scripture says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. There's a part that you've got to play. If you want to see some victory, if you want to see my grace in a fuller measure, if you want to see my Spirit working in you in a greater way, because folks, we as Church of God, we know, again, about sanctification and second work of grace, and thank the Lord I'm sanctified, and that's true. But we must never lose sight of the fact that it is a daily effectual working in our lives. And I can't afford to get into a place that I rely upon a testimony from years ago of an experience that's not effectually working today. And I can do despite unto the Spirit of grace. Or in other words, I can restrict the flow of grace into my life. I can get into a place where the Lord's wanting to do more for me, but Clint, you got to get down first. You've got to give of yourself first. You've got to deny yourself first. You've got to submit yourself to God first. There's a requirement here that I need from you before I can meet you and give you what you're wanting. What level are we satisfied? Are we satisfied to be observers? Spectators? Are we satisfied to just kind of catch what happens, to fly over the wall my way and blessings? Or am I willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, help me not to stop short of the effectual working of the Lord and of His Spirit, because it's the measure of His working within our life that'll be the measure of how much the Lord can bless us collectively. And again, I thank the Lord so much for the people of God. I am so thankful for this way. I'm so thankful for the memories that we have of times the Lord has blessed and anointed. I'm so thankful for those times of conviction where you can just feel the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, those things are precious. Those things, you can't buy it with money. You can't produce it. You can't generate it of ourselves. Folks, this comes from God. And it's not earned, but we get it through humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God, individually in our own lives, allowing the reflection of His grace to be seen through our lives, that the folks closest to us, the folks that rub shoulders with us in the workplace or whatever it is, that they first see the reflection of grace in my own life. And that's how the Lord's able to bless us collectively. Folks, I don't believe those days are over.
I'm so thankful that the Lord desires to still continue meeting into the years, into the future, as long as He permits time to stand, that there's a people, that there's a place, LaRonger, Louisiana, and Springfield, Ohio, where the Lord comes down and blesses in the services and anoints His Word and inspires the working together of His people that will continue on and carry on for years into the future. But it comes only as I'm willing to put blinders on and say, Lord, this is about me and You. Lord, I'm in earnest about this. I want as much as I can get. And the Lord will bless in ways beyond what we are able to imagine. You pray for me. Amen.